So, our topic, and you can always jump from one series to the next from week to week, so you can be at this series this week and try a different series next week, but our topic is the Tehillim of Hallel. Each class in each series is supposed to be understandable as a standalone class. So you can catch the Tehillim this week and catch Pesach Controversies the next week and Shiurim the third week or whatever, however you want to do it. And for whatever you don't catch with us, you can catch on YU Torah or Kosher too, as you like. Okay, we begin with the question of the purpose of Hallel. Now, we know that, obviously, at the Seder, we're supposed to thank Hashem for taking us out of Egypt. So, Hallel fits in that sense, and we have Hallel for Yom Tov in general. But take a look, please, at source number one, and you'll see why I ask about this purpose of Hallel. Source number one, Tanu Rabbanan. Right, this is a brisa. Brisa means a source that's contemporary with the Mishnah, but wasn't canonized with the Mishnah. Sometimes because it was felt to be superfluous, because the Mishnah already told you what you needed to know. Sometimes maybe it was a source that some had, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who canonized the Mishnah, did not have. Sometimes there may have been a question about its authenticity. There are various reasons why something ends up in a brisa instead of a Mishnah. But the Gemara records it. Revi'i gomer olav es ha'halil, on the fourth cup, right, the fourth cup at the Seder. So when completes Hallel, the Omer Hallel HaGadol, and one says the great Hallel, Divrei Rabbi Tarfon, according to Rabbi Tarfon. What is the great Hallel? What does that mean? You mean the ones where we're not skipping? Right, so that's actually not what Hallel HaGadol is. That's Hallel Shalem.
And there's Hallel Katan in this. What do we say in the Siddur in the morning?
I don't know. I'm thinking of the Hallel Gadol is what Nina said. Hallel Gadol is Hod Lashem Kitov Kilam Chasdol Lam Sein Iflaus Gedolos Lavado Kilam Chasdol, the 26 lines that end Kili Olam Chasdol. That's actually what the Gemara refers to, where Rabbi Tarfon refers to when he says Hallel Gadol. He says that's what you're doing at the Seder. That's what you're doing with a fourth cup of wine at the Seder, fourth cup of grape juice, whatever. You're saying this Hallel HaGadol, and the Yesh Omrim, and some say, some disagree and say, no, that's not what you say. What you actually say is Hashem Roi Lo Echzar, the 23rd chapter of Tehillim. Right? The one that people usually think of, unfortunately, as the funeral, right, the funeral psalm. The God is my shepherd, I shall not lack, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It's funny, it's hard to call this funny, but when I used to be in a position where I would officiate at funerals, so I would always do the Tehillim, and I always tried to do Hebrew and English. But my first shul in Rhode Island, the funeral home there had on the wall behind the rabbi, up on the wall, and big letters for everybody to be able to read the 23rd psalm in English. And I didn't realize it the first time I got up there. Don't ask me how I missed it, but I didn't notice it. And I'm doing my own translation, which doesn't match. And everybody's sitting here, so I'm confused. Because my translation is my way, not their way. You know. But in any case, that's the way we think of that parak, that chapter of Tehillim. But there is a view that actually says that the equivalent is Hashem Roi Lo Echzar. This statement that God is my shepherd, I shall not lack, I have everything I need. It's a statement of faith. So he says that's actually what you should be doing at the Seder. That's the Hallel you should be saying, is that chapter of Tehillim, which is fascinating to me, really, and worthy of its own discussion. But I want to get to this next piece here. The Lama Nikra Shema Hallel HaGadol. Why is it that this is called the Great Hallel, this chapter of Tehillim that ends Kilam Chasto on all those lines? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan explains, Mipnei Shakadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Birumo Shal Olam Umchaleik Mizonos Lechol Bria. Because Hashem sits at the height of the world and He distributes food to every creature. That's why this is called Hallel HaGadol. What in the world is he talking about? What does he mean by that? What does that have to do with Hallel HaGadol? What does it do with that chapter of Tehillim? because one of the lines in it, good, is Noten lechem lechol basar, that God gives bread to all flesh. Ki leolam chasdo, His kindness is eternal. So that's Hallel Hagadol. That's the great Hallel. And then Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, "Hani esrim b'shisha hodu kineged me." Why do I have 26 lines of hodu? Kineged esrim b'shisha doros shabara hakadosh baruch hu ba'olamo v'lo nasam lehem tara v'zano sam b'chazdo. For the 26 generations of human beings that God created and He supported, without giving them the Torah, He just supported them in His generosity. In other words, for 26 generations. The math is simple. 10 generations from Adam to Noah. 10 generations from Noah to Abraham. Then you have Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. And then you count the next generations. So we'll do it, let's say, through Shevet Levi, because that's the easiest one. You have Levi, son of Yaakov. Then you have Amram. And then you have Kehat. Then you have Amram, and then you have Moshe. So when you do the math, you realize you have 26 generations until they get the Torah. For 26 generations, we live off of Hashem's kindness. We're not doing, fulfilling any Torah, and yet Hashem supports us. That's the idea, until there's Torah in the world. Susan, you have a question.
26 Hodus are not the Hallel that we think of as Hallel. That's what you say.
Correct, that's the Hallel HaGadol. It's the Hodu Hashem Kitzot.
So this whole thing is not the Hallel that we're thinking of as Hallel?
So far.
Oh.
So far, until we get to source number two.
And that's referred to as Hallel, everybody...
Is this a Mechadeva?
Like, it's something only I was not aware of.
No, it's not called Hallel. It's called, you're right, it's called Hallel HaGadol, which is different from the Hallel that we say on Yom Tov. It is said in the Haggadah.
Yes,
right?
I know that.
But that's exactly right. So Hallel HaGadol is considered to be great because it says Hashem feeds everybody. That's why it's so great. Now take a look, please, at source number two. An extension of that Gemara that I quoted in source number one. And they ask Susie's question. If you have Hallel HaGadol, anan maitaima amrinan hai, then why do we say this, meaning the rest of Hallel? Are they asking this question about Pesach night, or are they asking this question about every Yom Tov? Well, the context is certainly Pesach immediately, but I think the question could really apply on any Yom Tov. Since you love Hallel HaGadol, you call it Hallel HaGadol, let that be Hallel. What's with these other chapters of Tehillim that we say, that we call Hallel? Chapters, I think it's Perek Kuf Yud Gimel, 113th Psalm through 118th Psalm. What are they doing there? Why do we have them? So the Gemara answers, Mishum, actually, no, before we even get to the answer that they give, take a look at source number 3. Usually, when you read Gemara, the first commentary you look for is who? Rashi. But you run into trouble in a few places where we're lacking Rashi. At the end of the Gemara in Pesachim, we have Rashbam, Rashi's grandson. And he's one of the authors of the Tosfot as well. Somewhat more wordy than Rashi is, but that's what we have and that's what we work with. So look at what Rashbam says in source number 3 to explain what the Gemara is asking. Since there is the great Hallel, Shubach Yoser, which is especially exalted, Kimo Shapirish Rabbi Yochanan Lamala, like Rabbi Yochanan said in source number 1, Mishum Dichsim Beinose Lechem Lechol Basar, because it mentions that Hashem gives bread to everybody. Anan Maitaima Amrinan Hai Halila Al Kol Perek Perek Val Kol Tzara Shalot Tavo Al Atzibur Lichashanig Olin. Why is it that we say this other Hallel, not just Pesach night, but on every occasion of every trouble that should never befall us? You notice the wording, he doesn't want to say that ever befalls us, because we don't want to talk about suffering, but every trouble that should never ever happen, when we're redeemed, we say this. What are we doing? Why are we saying this this other Hallel when you have Hallel HaGadol? That's the way Rashbam frames the question. You follow? It's a broader question. So, let's see the Gemara's answer. The Gemara back in source number 2. Mishum sheyesh bo chamisha devarim halalu. The answer is because it has these 5 elements, and we're about to count them. Yetzias Mitzrayim, leaving Egypt, is in Hallel. That's 1. Ukriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, is 2. Umatan Torah, presentation of the Torah at our Sinai, is 3. Utchias Hamesim, the resurrection of the dead, is 4. The Chevlo Shel Mashiach and the pangs of Mashiach are the 5th. Now, what I did in your translation, for those who are using the English, is I blended together the Gemara in the interest of space and the interest of clarity. So I'm going to read it in the Gemara, but you'll see how it's blended into your translation already. The Gemara does is it asks for each of the 5, where do you see this in Hallel? So Yitzias Mitzrayim is the easy one, right? Yitzias Mitzrayim, Dichsiv, Betzeis Yisrael, Mitzrayim, right? That one we can figure out. Ukriyas Yamsuf, Dichsiv, Hayam Ra'av, Vayanos, the sea saw and it fled. That was easy. Matan Torah, Dichsiv, Heharim, Rakdu Che'elim. It says that the mountains danced like rams. And Tchias Hamesim, the resurrection of the dead, Dirsib es Halech lefnei Hashem, I will walk before God, but it continues, Be'artzos HaChayim, in the land of the living. That's the resurrection of the dead. So that's there as well. And Chevlo Shel Mashiach, the pangs of Mashiach, Dirsib lo lanu Hashem lo lanu, when the pasuk says, not for us God, not for us, meaning we don't want to experience the pain that precedes Mashiach. Are there other explanations for that line as well? It's not so important for us right now. So, these are what's in Hallel. Now, right off the bat, I have a problem when I read this.
Well, the resurrection of the dead, I didn't realize that was referring to the dead. I thought it was people that want to live, alive.
Right. So this is clearly a way to take Be'artzos HaChayim. It's not the only way to take Be'artzos HaChayim, but that's one way to take it. It's Tchias HaMesim. But you're right. I could just as easily have read that sentence and not understood Tchias HaMesim there, 100%. But I have a problem with the core concept here. What do you mean?
Chronologically, the Mashiach, the Lola Nu, is before the resurrection of the dead.
Right. So what's the order that they're using? Why did they go out of order in terms of historical events? Why is it out of order? Why is the Gemara listing them out of order? Sorry? It's the order that they appear in Hallel, which is exactly where my problem begins, because where's the first one? What's the first one on the list? Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is in Betzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim. But what paragraph is that in Hallel? That's the second paragraph. So why didn't I start Hallel with Betzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim? If that's what's important, if these are my elements, then what is the first paragraph of Hallel doing there? So that's something I'm hoping to get to. Okay? I'm hoping not to leave you hanging with that. But what I want to accomplish today is to talk about first the purpose of Hallel before we talk about the individual paragraphs. So, something to keep in mind. But the Gemara continues. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, in addition to all these other things, Mipnei sheyesh bo milut nefashos shel tzadikim megehinom. It has the rescue of the righteous from Gehenna. People who are righteous but who may have sinned on some level and who were destined to be punished, it has in it Hashem saving them from Gehenna, Shenemar, where? Because David says in Tehillim, Anna Hashem malta nafshi. Hashem, please rescue me. Save my soul from suffering in Gehenna. Chizkiah, another of the Gemara sages, this is not King Chizkiah, this is Chizkiah from the Gemara, Omar, Mipnei sheyesh bo yiridasan shel tzadikim lekivshan ha'esh v'aliyasan mimenu, because it has in it, the Hallel has in it, the descent of the righteous, he means Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, in the time of Daniel, into the fiery furnace, and their ascent therefrom, and he shows you how that can be read into Psukim towards the end of Hallel. I didn't bring it here because it wasn't so germane for tonight. But what we see here is that we want more than just the narrow theme that's in Hallel HaGadol, that Hashem feeds everybody. We also want these other components, these other beliefs that we have. We're looking for more than just the belief that Hashem feeds everybody. If you want a quick encapsulation of what we're looking for, take a look back at source number 3, Rashbam on Chamisha Devarim, the 5 elements, Demayrinami Begeula, which also deal with redemption. It's more than just food, it's redemption. That's within the rest of Hallel, but you don't necessarily see in Hallel HaGadol. But wait, there's more. Take a look, please, at source number 4. Source number 4 comes from the commentary of the Maharsha, Shmuel Edels. I always get it wrong. I believe it's Shmuel, but sometimes I think it's Shlomo, and I inevitably say one thing or the other, and then I look it up afterwards and realize I guessed wrong again. Which is terrible, because he had a name. But either of Shmuel or of Shlomo Edels, he appears in the back of the Gemara. He wrote a commentary to the Gemara in 2 parts. One is a halachic commentary, primarily on the works of Rashi and Tosfot in the Gemara. It's called Chidushei Halachot. And the other is on sort of the stories and moral lessons that are in the Gemara. It's called Chidushei Agadot. And that's what I'm using here in source number 4. He says, regarding these 5, Elu hachamisha heim kolalim ha'ikarim hashlosha. These 5 elements really, when you boil down to it, have 3 essentials in them. Yitzias Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt. Ukriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea. Morim al Mitziyusa v'chidush ha'olam. That those 2 things show that God exists and that God created the world. How do these 2 events, the departure from Egypt and the splitting of the sea, how do they demonstrate, well, Hashem's existence is obvious, but how do they demonstrate that Hashem created the world? How does splitting the sea show that God created the world?
He has control over it.
Right. The theory is, you can only change this if you created it. If the only one who can actually do that is someone who had the power to make it in the first place. That's right. So that's the first one. Umatan Torah. The second one is the giving of the Torah. Dichsiv Hearim Rakdu Mora Al Torah Menashamayim. That teaches that Torah is from heaven. And then the third, Tchias HaMesim, he says in and of itself, that's the third of the major themes. So in other words, the way the Maharsha frames this, it's the what we're seeing here is about emunah, basic faith in Hashem as the creator, Hashem as the source of Torah, Hashem as the one who will redeem us in the future. That's what we're looking for in Hallel. Hallel is really about emunah. That's what he's really telling us. Hallel is about faith. Which is funny, because that's not what I would have thought at all. Right? What would you have thought Hallel is for? Approaching, look at you, you open up your Siddur, you open up your Haggadah, it's praise. I'm singing to God. What he's doing is turning Hallel from being externally driven, where I'm doing something to God, and makes it internally driven. What Hallel is about is what I'm gaining myself. Hallel is about reinforcing my own sense of emunah in Hashem. It's a remarkable idea. I think there's more to be said about this. It's consistent with certain other ideas. For example, what's the first song that the Jews sing as a nation to Hashem?
Az Yashir.
Az Yashir. How does the Torah introduce Az Yashir? What comes right before it? Vayosha. How does Vayosha end right before Az Yashir?
I don't usually say
it,
sorry.
Vayaminu Bashem uvamoshe abdo Az Yashir Moshe Bnei Yisrael. They believed and then they could sing. Emuna is necessary for the song. You heard Vayaminu Bashem just today in the other shir that we had today. You have no excuse for not remembering that sentence. It was a different topic. Also Pesach related. And available on kosher too. But that's one. Take a look at another point in source number 5. The Gemara in Shabbos talks about the 6 orders of the Mishnah, the 6 sections of the Mishnah. And it takes a pasuk in Yeshaya and says that a different words in the pasuk are associated with each of the sections of Mishnah. The pasuk is Vahaya Emuna Zitacha, Chosin Yeshua's Chachas Vidas, Yiras Hashem Hiyot Zara. So Emuna says the Gemara, it refers to Seder Zra'in, the agricultural Mishnayos. Now, why would I link Emuna with agricultural lessons, with agricultural laws?
Yeah. Totally dependent on God.
Right. The farmer is totally dependent on Hashem. He trusts. He puts his seeds in the ground, especially. I once had a Rebbe who pointed it out. Imagine what it was like to be the first generation of farmers when the Jews entered into Israel from the wilderness. They grew up on the mun, right?
Yeah.
Food comes from the sky. No, it doesn't come from the sky. Now you have to take seeds and put them in the ground. In the ground, they're going to rot. Don't worry. You put them in the ground, you'll get plants. Don't worry. Just water it and protect it. There were people who made it in who had seen things grow from the ground. So it's a little bit of an exaggeration. But the point is made. The farmer is living on faith. So that's the classic explanation. But the Maharsha says there's another element here. The first volume, the first tractate in the order of Zra'im is? What's the first Masechet? Brachos. The brachos you make. So take a look at source number 5. Maharsha says, a Masechet brachos, shehi arishona b'seder Zra'im ka'amar emunas. He says, when it says faith, it's talking about brachos, the first Mishnah in these agricultural Mishnayos, al shem meya brachos shenizkarim ba, because of the 100 brachos that are mentioned in it, where the idea that you're supposed to say 100 blessings a day, v'gadol ha'ona amen aleihem, and how great one is if he answers amen to these 100 brachos. So what he says is brachos are tied to emuna, are tied to faith. You can't separate out the faith that one has with the song that one sings to Hashem. And there's more. Source number 6, I'm not going to belabor the point, but you can see it there in front of you, in which Chizkiah doesn't sing to Hashem immediately after the salvation from the invading Assyrians, and therefore Mashiach doesn't come. He doesn't deserve to be Mashiach. It's not the absence of song that causes Chizkiah not to become Mashiach. It's the absence of the emunah that would have brought us to sing. That's what's missing. It's the absence. It's not that you didn't sing a song. It's that you didn't have the faith that would have brought you to sing. Worth noting, he ultimately does formulate a song, but that's okay. So that's part of the question for him. I'm not ready to go into the Gemara on him. I only brought it to make the note. I'm not ready for that one yet. So what we have so far, to sum up where we are, and I said at the beginning, not everyone was here at the beginning, but I'm hoping that the feel of having the different shurim going on is good as a base medrash enhancer and not a distraction from learning. I recognize that this is a challenge, but we're trying an experiment and hopefully it works. Right. Imagine if the weather wasn't bad and we had 4 full groups going at the different parts. But let's see what happens. We started out by saying that you have this Hallel HaGadol, which is called Hallel HaGadol because it mentions that God feeds everyone, but we don't use Hallel HaGadol every time we thank Hashem for miracles. We use this other Hallel instead. And the reason is because it has these elements of faith in Hashem as creator, Hashem as provider of the Torah, and Hashem as the ultimate redeemer. And when we sing to Hashem, it's not simply about an external song of praise that we offer to God. It's about our own faith, expressing what we believe inside and really reinforcing it, I think, for ourselves. That's the idea. So that on every Yom Tov, we only say Hallel. On Pesach night, we say Hallel, and we also add in Hallel HaGadol, which has the list of what happened when we left Egypt. You did this, and you did this. It's like a Dayenu type of a list. But now, having given that preface about the goal of Hallel, I turn to the first chapter of Tehillim. You have it on the flip side of your sheets. And at this point also, I'm going to pass around the sign-in sheet, because I think anyone who's going to be here is here. Please make sure to sign in, both in terms of me being able to send out follow-up from tonight, and also that way I can send out the source sheets for the next week, so you'll actually have them in advance. You're free to try one of the other series the other weeks. This does not bind you to staying here. But that way you'll have the sheets if you decide that you do want to. So, my questions are these. And I wanted, this is going to take us this week and next week and the week after, even though each class stands alone. But my questions are, number one, this first chapter of Tehillim doesn't have a role in these Ikare Emuna, these fundamental principles of belief. So why is it that it's there in Hallel? Number two, Perek Kuf Yud Chet, at the end of Hallel, chapter 118, also does not appear. It doesn't have a role in these essential beliefs. What is that doing in Hallel? 118.
Which one is that?
That's the one with... hang on, let me pull out my sitter so I don't make a mistake. So 118 is the one that starts, yes, with the Hodu Lashem Kitov Hilam Chasdo Yomar Na Yisrael, right, and runs all the way from there to the end, till the Bracha B'Halalucha, you know, afterwards. So that whole thing didn't appear at all in our discussion of what we're supposed to learn from these. The last one that shows up was as Halech Lefnei Hashem Beretzos HaChayim, I'll walk before God in the land of the living. That's in Kuf Tet Zayin, that's in 116. What happened to 117? What happened to 118? What are they doing there in Hal? It's not just 118, it's also 117. And how are these themes of emunah, of belief, of faith, played out in the chapters of Tehillim? That's what I want to get to in our series. And tonight, I want to get to Tehillim Kuf Yud Gimel, this Psalm 113. So looking at the Yershit, the flip side, you see the chapter of Tehillim there on top. I brought it Hebrew and English on the sheet. Let's take a look at it quickly. Hallelujah, right? Sing to God. Hallelu Abdei Hashem, sing servants of God. Hallelu Hashem Hashem, sing to the name of God. How many times did it say to sing in that sentence? Three times. Worth noting. Keep that in your mind. Yehi Shem Hashem Mevorach Me'ata Ve'ad Olam. May Hashem's name be blessed forever, now and forever. Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mevo'o Mehulal Shem Hashem. From the east of the sun, from the rising of the sun in the east to its setting, Mehulal Shem Hashem, God's name is exalted. Ram Al Kogoyim Hashem Ala Shemayim Kvodo. Hashem is elevated above all nations, His glory is above the heavens. Mi Hashem Elokeinu Amagbi LaShaves. Who is like Hashem our God? Now, by the way, if you're looking at the English, you'll see I translated it in three sections. I put the first and second verse as one section. It's the introduction, the call to sing to Hashem. May Hashem's name be blessed now and forever. Thank you. That's the first part. The second part was the declaration that from the rising of the sun in the east to its setting, Hashem's name is exalted. He is elevated above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. That, I believe, is the second part. And then the third part has a different character to it. It's really one run-on sentence. That's what starts with sentence 5. Mi Hashem Elokeinu Amagbi LaShaves. Who is like Hashem our God, who elevates to sit? And we'll have to see what that means. Hamashbili Liros Bashamayim Uva'aretz, who lowers to see in the heavens and on earth. Mikimi Me'afar Dal, he elevates, thank you, the poor from the dust. Me'ashpos Yerim Evyon, from the heaps, the trash, he elevates the pauper. Lehoshivi Im Nedivim Im Nedivei Amo, to place with the princes of his nation. Moshivi Akeras Habayis Ema Banim Semecha, who makes the barren woman in the house a joyous mother of children, sing to God. So there's a lot here. There's a lot here. Let's break it down a little bit. First of all, the opening part. Sing to God. Sing servants of God. Sing to the name of God. So Radak says it's meant to show how great our imperative is to praise Hashem. It's reinforced. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing, sing, and sing. From the rising of the sun in the east to its setting, God's name is exalted. What does that mean?
All day long.
All day long, God's name is exalted. Not at night. At night time, we don't praise Hashem's name. We speak of Hashem's faith at night. So what do you mean from the rising of the sun to its setting?
It's all over the world.
Geographically, excellent. That's one possibility, is that this is geographic. graphic. Ibn Ezra says that here. Ibn Ezra says it's the length of a settled globe. Remember that for many, many centuries, the belief was that the southern parts of the globe and the northern parts of the globe are uninhabited and indeed uninhabitable. The world is only east to west. Leave aside flat, round, that's not even relevant for us. But the point is, from east to west means the entire settled world. And in fact, we have a pasuk in Malachi, which I brought you on your sheet, in source number 8. Ki mi mizrach shemesh ve'ad mevo'o, gadol shmi bagoyim. From the rising of the sun in the east to its setting, my name is great among the nations. It means wherever there are nations, Hashem says, my name is great. What that means there is a good question. I'm going to come back to it in a moment. But what, there's another way you could read this. What else could you say? Whoever believes in him, where do you see that?
My name is great.
Yeah. Whoever has emunah, Hashem's name is great among them. Okay, I thought you were going to say something very similar to that, which maybe you're also thinking of. Hold on.
Elena. I was saying, the rising of the sun is the setting of the creation at night and dark.
So you can. Oh, so yeah. So that's actually where I thought you were going, Alan. The is there. That's what Abarbanel says on the pasuk in Malachi. Abarbanel says the opening mem is the key. When a word starts with a mem, it can mean one of two things. The prefix mem can mean from, as in geographic from. That's why we've been taking it, from the east to the west. Mi mizrach, right? The other way, though, is what? No. What else can it mean when you put a mem in front of something as a prefix? Yeah, from, but a different kind. It's a different kind of from. It's as a result of. As a result of, because of. The another example would be from his hunger, and you would say in English, me ra'avono. Right? You would do the may from ra'avono, his ra'avon, his hunger. That's just what came to mind immediately. There are other...
So that would be may.
May or me. Either way. It depends on...
If you put the... Well, the tzeri would be two dots under, and this is ma.
That depends on the letter that's coming next. It's may ra'avono, because it's a resh coming afterwards. It'll depend on whatever the next letter is. The... So the idea is, and by the way, may could mean something else also. May could also mean since, like chronologically, like you said. Like we say, may az haita legoi, from the time they were a nation. So the may there is from, chronologically. But the idea that Abarbanel says here is, and is what Elaine said, I thought Alan was going to also, mi mizrach shemesh ad mevo'o, as a result of the rising of the sun to its setting, from the fact that the universe functions with this magnificent pattern of nature, because of that, gadol shmi bagoyim, my name is great among the nations, because they see nature and they say, wow, this is incredible. And they praise the Creator, even if they don't understand what the Creator is. A person may be praising Hashem without even realizing it. Right? The atheist who says, wow, what an amazing world I live in, and doesn't credit it to a Creator, is still praising God. He just doesn't think so. That's Abarbanel's concept here of this mem in this sentence. The question, of course, in source number 8 is, well, is God's name really great among the nations? And so various commentators take it differently. One says, well, it's the Jews who are scattered among the nations who offer this praise. It doesn't mean the nations praise God. It means we do when we're scattered in exile. That's a medrash cited in Rashi and Malachi. Another one suggests that no, it's that they agree that God is the first cause, but they have idols that they have as intermediaries. All sorts of different explanations are offered as to what's going on here. But going back to our chapter in Tehillim, From the rising of the sun to its setting, God's name is exalted. He's elevated above all nations. Right? Ramal Kogoyim Hashem. He is elevated above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Even Ezra says, all above everything that we praise is God. And then we continue to the third part. Mi Kashem Elokeinu Hamagbihi Lashavet. Those yuds that you see there, Hamagbihi, Hamashbili, Mekimi. Normally I would look at that and say that's personal. It, the ending with an E means me. Mekimi, he elevates me. But it doesn't work in the sentences. And the commentators say these are superfluous yuds. It's a grammatical anomaly, and don't get hung up on it, they say. Don't worry about it. Just ignore the yuds. Right? Don't pay any attention to the yud behind the curtain.
It's
a poetic sound. It's not something that's there to serve a grammatic function. The statement here, though, in sentence 5 and 6, Hamagbihi lashavet, hamashbili lirot, bashamay muvaaretz, means, as Rashi explains it, who is like Hashem our God, who is magbiha lashavet in the shamayim, and mashbil lirot baaretz. He rises up to sit in the heavens, and he lowers himself to see on earth. You have to parse sentences 5 and 6 as though they're one sentence. Hamagbihi lashavet, hamashbil lirot, bashamayim uvaaretz. He is up to see in the heavens, he is down, he is up to sit in the heavens, he is down to see on earth. You follow? Is that clear? Mila, you with me? You see what I'm doing here?
He's above the shamayim.
He's above, he goes to sit in the heavens, and he also sees down here on earth. Right, so the way that Rashi takes it is, take bashamayim and link it back to hamagbihi lashavet. Hamagbihi lashavet bashamayim hamashbili lirot baaretz. It's poetic. It's not a straight read like prose. It's the Tehillim. It's not supposed to be prose. And he, after saying that Hashem sits in the heavens and he sees down here on earth, Mikimi me'afar dal, he raises up the needy from the dirt. Me'ashpo terim efyon, he raises up a pauper from the heaps. Lo shivim nidivim, to put him with princes. Moshivi akeret habayit, he takes the akeret habayit. Even Ezra says akeret should not be read as smichut. Don't be confused by the taf at the end. Akeret is like akara, a woman who doesn't have children. So it's the he takes the akeret. And he makes her in the house a joyous mother of children. That's the way to read that. The Rashi says Akeret Habayit is the Jews who they were Akara when the children were away in exile, and Hashem will then bring them home. That's the way that the Rashi reads it. Okay, so that's our chapter of Tehillim. It praises God. It praises God for being the one who sees everything, who is up on earth, who is also down here. Right? It sings to Hashem, all well and good. Does anything stand out to you though? That makes you say, knowing what Hallel is for, knowing that Hallel is about Emunah, right? If that's really what this is, what is Perek Kuf Yud Gimel doing in Hallel? What is this chapter that we've just read? What is that doing? And does anything stand out to you that could have made this suitable? Why is this here in Hallel?
Showing Hashem's greatness.
Showing Hashem's greatness. Okay, but a lot of
the world.
But if my point is to bring specific themes of what I believe in, what is this adding? What is this doing here? I mean, it's true. But I could have started B'tei Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim and conveyed that Hashem is great. And it would have had resonance. It would have had to do with leaving Egypt. What are we getting here? See, Radak says sort of what David is saying. Radak simply says, yeah, this is my introduction to the section about Yetzias Mitzrayim by talking about the greatness of Hashem. It's an introduction. Okay. It's a nice introduction. Right? Not launching right into B'tzeis Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim. So if you want an introduction, that's pretty decent. What else here you could associate with Yetzias Mitzrayim, with getting out of Egypt?
Maybe making me now for a dollar and a spot, yeah.
right? Saving those who were low. Miki me'afar dal me'ashpot your avion. We were the dal. We were the avion. We were the needy people who were elevated from the dirt. So that's a second possibility. Another possibility is, because he mentions the great publicity of Hashem's name, right? When the Jews come out of Egypt with all these plagues and the splitting of the sea and so on, Hashem's name is elevated among the nations. Everybody hears about this one. Ramah Kogayim Hashem, because everybody finds out. Mizrach Shemesh Ad Mivoo. So these are all, I think, good explanations for this is here. It's an introduction. It has the elevation of the lowly. It talks about Hashem's name being known. But the Medrash on Tehillim takes a different tack. Take a look, please, at source number 9. The Medrash on Tehillim offers another approach, and this is classic Medrash. When I say classic Medrash, for those who are in the Living Medrash series, you probably already know what I'm referring to. A Medrash that is canonized in a volume which talks about a particular section of Tanakh does not need to focus on that section of Tanakh. You could have a Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah on a story that is in Sefer Bereishis, but it's actually not looking at the story in Bereishis, it's actually looking at some other pasuk, which along the way will give me insight into this story. That's why Medrash is built. So that here, the Medrash that's going to explain this to us is actually working with a pasuk from elsewhere in Tehillim that doesn't have to do with our parak directly, but the lesson it's going to draw from elsewhere in Tehillim is going to help us here. You follow? That's the idea. So let's take a look at how it does this. Source number 9. Haluka halu avdei Hashem, halu Hashem Hashem. Right? That's the opening of our parak. And then it says, Zeu sha'amar ha'kasuv ez kiranagi nasi balayla im levavi asicha. They quote a pasuk from the 77th chapter in Tehillim. Okay? Which says, I will mention ezkira, not to remember, it's to mention. I will mention my nigina. What is a nigina? A tune. A song. I will mention my song at night im levavi asicha. With my heart I will speak. And what the Medrash wants to know is, what does that mean? What is my nigina? Now, I skipped one of the explanations that the Medrash brings, just in the interest of time and space, because otherwise we would never get anywhere into our halal point. The Medrash has a whole other discussion of what Negina could mean, and it isn't even a song at all. That's in the part that I skipped, and you know, you can of course look it up in the Medrash on Tehillim, and you'll see it there. But it continues after that. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Simon Amar. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Simon says, "You want to know what the song is that I mentioned at night? Amra Knesses Yisrael Lepnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu." As the Jews said to God, "Nizkarti ani she'asisa li nisim b'Mitzrayim. I remember that you did miracles for me in Egypt. Ve'hayisi menagenes lach al yedei osan." And I sang to you for those miracles. And I sang to you that night when you took me out. And he quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya. This song will be for you like the night the festival was dedicated. What was that? The night when we got out of Egypt. When was it? When you killed the Egyptian firstborn that first night. It was in the middle of the night. So he says, that's the song that we're talking about. The night when you redeemed us, the night when you brought us to freedom. That's the night. The night that you brought us to freedom is what we're talking about. That's when the song was. Shehayinu, and here's the kicker. Here's the part that makes it relevant for us. Shehayinu avadim leparo. We were slaves to Paro. Uga altanu, you redeemed us. V'asisanu lechol avadim. You made us into your slaves. Lekach ne'amar, and therefore it says, Hallelu avdei Hashem. V'lo avdei Paro. And that is the key. That is the key. What in the world are you talking about, Torchina? What's the key? Hallelu Avdei Hashem. The Medrash is picking up on the fact that David calls us in this chapter of Tehillim that we use by an unusual term. We are Hashem's servants. Hashem says, Avodai Heim, they are my slaves. I brought them out of Egypt, they're supposed to serve me now. But it's not usual that we find ourselves being called Abdei Hashem like
Moshe
that.
Is Hashem.
Moshe is Abdei Hashem. There are certain people in the Torah who are called that. As a matter of fact, I once read an article by a mentor of mine, Rabbi Michael Broyd, in which he contended that the Ayin Hey that you'll see after a name sometimes, Ayin, quotation marks, Hey, originally did not mean what it now is taken to mean. Nowadays, when you see Ayin Hey, what does it mean? Olav HaShalom. At first, it actually meant Eved Hashem.
Really?
Because when you look in the earliest Midrashim that use the Ayin Hey, it is only used with the names of people who are called in Tanakh Eved Hashem, like Moshe. David, a few others, yes. There are several who are called Eved Hashem, and those are the ones who have it. But what happens? We end up in Muslim lands. And what do they traditionally say after they say the name of their prophet? What do they say? You'll often see it written in English, PBUH, stands for Peace Be Upon Him. Yes, peace be upon him, which in Hebrew is Olav HaShalom. And so what happens is the term becomes used more broadly and rendered as Olav HaShalom, when in fact it started out as Eved Hashem. But that's a side note.
It's really a Muslim practice. We're copying here.
Well, it's not a bad bracha to give. Olav HaShalom is nice.
Yeah, but, you know, if it's Muslim.
And if Muslims started saying B'tah Hundred and Sonsik, you know? So again, what the Medrash is doing, building it off of a separate pasuk in Tehillim, not building it off of here, but it's explaining what David means when he summons us to sing to God as Avdei Hashem. And the answer is, we recognize ourselves as becoming servants of God. That's one. Two, second half of this, is in source number 10. Davar Acher, alternatively. This is long, but I think we can get through it. Halalu kahalu avdei Hashem. Zeu sh'amra kasav pia pascha dechachma v'taras chesed alashona. Classic pasuk from the end of Mishlei, we're familiar with this. She opens her mouth with wisdom, upon her tongue is a lesson in kindness. Atamotze esrim v'shisha doros. 26 generations, this should sound familiar from the Gemara we saw. Misha barak adosh baruch v'solamo atshiyatza yiswami mitzrayim. 26 generations from creation until we left Egypt. V'lo amru halel. We didn't say halel to Hashem that whole time. Atshiyatza mishibud Mitzrayim, until we left Egypt, when we struggled with the clay and the bricks, and then we said Halil. When did we say Halil? Bishas Makas Bechoros, the plague of the firstborn. Amad Paro, v'halach etzal Moshe v'Aaron b'alayel. Listen to this story. Paro got up. We know the Torah says Paro got up and he ran to them. But the Medrash gives us a backstory. Paro got up and he ran to Moshe and Aaron. Shnemar v'yikol Moshe v'Aaron b'alayel. The pasuk says he called to Moshe and Aaron at night. Hayadofik Paro abischayin shal Moshe v'Aaron b'alayel. Paro knocked on their door at night. V'amar alem, and he said to them, as it says in the Torah, Kumu tzu'umi tochami. Get up. Run out. Get out of my country. Amru lo, and they said to him, Shota, you fool. V'chi balaylanu omdin. What, we're going to get up at night? V'chi ganavamanu shenelech balayla. We're thieves. We're going to sneak out. Baboqeranu yotzim. We're going out in the morning. Shekach amar lanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as God said, v'atem lo seitzu yishvi pesach beisavad boker. Hashem said, don't you leave your house until the morning. Hashem wants us by day. Amar lahem. So Parah says, but wait. Harei kvar meisim kol Mitzrayim. He says, all of Egypt is dying. Shnemar, as the pasuk says, ki meisu ki amru kulanu meisim. They said, we're all dying. Amru lo. So they said, Mivakesh ata lachalos hamaka azos. You want to end this plague. And more, you should say, Hare atem b'nei chorin. You are free. Hare atem b'rishuschem. You are in your own domain. Ve'en atem avadai. You are not my servants. Ela avdei Hashem. You are servants of God. And Hischil Paro tzaveach va'omer. And Paro started screaming. And he said, L'sha'avar ayisem avadai. Aval achshav atem el chorin. You were my slaves. Now you're free. Atem hare atem b'rishuschem. You are in your own domain. It's like a document, a bill of release for the slaves. Get shichur, as it's called in the Gemara. You are servants of God. And Paro says, you have to praise God because you are now his slaves. Paro says it. And so you want to know who is calling us and saying, Hallelujah, Avdei Hashem. It's not David. It's Paro. Paro is saying to the Jews, Hallelujah, Avdei Hashem. Shenemar Haluka, Hallelujah, Avdei Hashem. I didn't realize it. I missed that one. That Yud, hey, you see that there in the end? That makes this Shemos. So if you want to give it back to me, you can, but the sheet is shemos and has to be treated properly. That on the next to last line. The next last line in the Hebrew, the end of the line. Hallelujah. You see that? I missed it. I'm usually pretty good about that. The Chenu Omer, and so I should have made a dash or turned it into a kuf the way I do the other times. I didn't see it. The Chenu Omer, and so it says, Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim. Hashem says they are my avadim. The Chenu Omer, and like the pasuk in Yeshaya, Hashu Yalachem Kalelis Kadesh Chag. The song will be for you, like the night the festival was dedicated. So that's the song. And so what this does, building first from Tehillim Ayin Zayin, and the pasuk about our song that we sang at night, and building from Mishle about how opening our mouths with Chachma, Pia Pascha B'Chachma, led to Torah's Chesed, led to getting the Torah. That I think is also implicit in this Medrash. I didn't spell it out as we went through it. But the idea is that this chapter is about Yitzias Mitzrayim. It not explicitly like B'Tzeis Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim, which is clearly about leaving Egypt. But in calling us Avdei Hashem, there's a recognition by David, by Paro, that we are now servants of God, and that is the introduction for us to our Hallel. Before we get to B'Tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim, before we're ready to sing of our Emunah, that Hashem created the world, that Hashem gave us the Torah, that Hashem is going to redeem us in the future, we begin with a statement, Hallelu Avdei Hashem. You are servants of Hashem, and therefore you should sing to God.
Paro says it.
Paro says it to us. Right? And therefore we say it at our Paro makes it into our Seder. How do you like that? Yeah. I loved this when I saw this Medrash. I thought that was awesome. Mm-hmm.
So where does
Moshe does it at the sea. Oh, so the Pia Pascha B'Chachma is very interesting. What I think it's suggesting here, when we go back to where it was quoted in source number 10, right? It was, now I lost it. There it is, the top. Right. Zeh shamar kasav pia pascha b'chachma v'taras chesed al lashona. She opened her mouth with wisdom and then received the Torah. There were 26 generations in which we didn't say Hallel. It was only when we opened our mouth with wisdom to praise Hashem and we said Hallel, then Hashem said, oh, now you're ready to get the Torah. After the 26th generation had finally sung to Hashem, then we got the Torah. Then Torah said, I'll show Shona. That's what the Medrash is doing with that.
Yeah, but the song we sang then was up to Shir, right?
Well, ultimately, that song, but they're suggesting there's a song that night that we don't have recorded. That's the night of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yeah. Thank you very much. I'm going...